Warning, the following episode of That Mental Ginger Show contains strong language and adult themes.
All right, troops.
This episode of That Mental Ginger Show is recorded at Scuff Studios in Swanston Street, Glasgow. If you're looking to do podcasts, music, or any creative passions, these guys will have you covered. For more information, contact Scuff Studios at scuffed.studios.gla@gmail.com or find them on Facebook or Instagram and drop them a message. Scuff Studios, to nurture your creative passions.
Hello, welcome back to That Mental Ginger Show. As you can tell, I'm no Andy, he's out the window now. I'm Craig and I'm going to be taking over the podcast and we are with Danny.
Oh, Craig, what the f*** are you doing?
You told me I can have the job, mate.
Get the f***, it's my show.
Hello and welcome to That Mental Ginger Show with your host, Andrew Durning, aka The Mental Ginger. Well, my three faithful followers, I'm actually really impressed with this guest because he said to me he's a fan of the show, so I think he needs his head examined. Well, he is a very talented comedian, Danny Carr. Danny, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me, Andrew.
Well, normally the first question I ask is about your origin story, but the first one I really need to ask is, how are you a fan of this? Do you know how nuts this is?
That's why I like it. I like archaic comedy. I think it's funny. You're not...
That's like archaic, am I a fucking fossil or something?
No, it means like archaism, you know, like getting, you know, people what? Rebelling against the system. I've got a wee vibe, I think it's a bit, fuck you to everybody, you know.
Yeah,
you can swear, can't you?
Oh, of course you can. Well, I actually encourage it. As long as you don't say the C word, because my mum and dad occasionally watch this. Although I've probably been cancelled about 7 times by now, so they've probably disowned me as their son.
I'll just keep it to the fox and that should be fine.
Well, in fairness, my dad did say for years that I was adopted. Me and my brother were buy one, get one free. So, I'm pretty sure he's disowned me by now.
Aye, you were only a discount, were you?
I don't know who was to get one free. I'm assuming it was me because I was the youngest. So what I like to do with every guest is find out about their origin story, because if there's one thing we've all got in common, we've all got an origins. So, Danny, in your own time, please tell my two faithful followers, since you are one of the three, your origin story.
So I started as a kid making short films, 12 or whatever, started with the old camcorders and all that, and always had a wee keen interest on filmmaking and all that, and then I drifted away to the music industry for a few years, and then eventually back to filmmaking, went to college, learned how my way about camera work and so on, and then luckily to finally go what I wanted, I managed to started actually doing Vines at one point. Remember the old fashioned things at 7 second comedy?
Aye, it was basically like baby TikTok, wasn't it?
Aye, it was actually.
It was like that starter platform. So what type of Vines were you doing?
Just comic Vines is different. I mean, it's hard to tell you exactly, you know, without showing you what was going on in them. I don't even know what was going on in some of them. But
I was just saying there, I'm like, without showing, I'm like, oh God, is this something dodgy? Is this like two girls, one cup scenario
something? No. It's the second one. It's three girls and two cups, I think it was.
The Emperor Strikes Back.
and the most disgusting
one. Right, and I have been cancelled for the 11th time in the space of 10 minutes. That's one of the things I like about it, because I do my usual stalking. When people call it research, I call it stalking, because it's basically one and the same. And I've looked up some of your stuff, and what I like about your kind of brand of comedy is that it is quite near knuckle. With some of it, I know a lot of it was filtered down because it was like doing with BBC The Social, which we'll let you talk about in a little minute after I keep bumming you up. actually, that isn't what she said, never mind.
No pun intended.
But that's why I like your kind of style. It's very similar to mine, but I think you're probably more mentally stable than I am.
Well, I don't know about that. Don't know about that. Maybe so, but no, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad to hear.
So where did you study? What was the college that you honed your craft?
So Cumbernauld College eventually.
Oh, Scumbernauld.
Scumbernauld.
Well, something associated with our sound production guy, Matthew Hilly. He was a Cumbernauld College boy.
I had a wee chat with him about that.
Hilly, give us a shout out. How did you find it in one word?
Brilliant.
There you go.
Could you hear the sarcasm in his voice?
Yeah,
you'll realise that about me. Like, we have all our production crew with us, and I like to kind of get them involved, like, even though they don't want to be.
That's quite right.
So how did you find Cumbernauld?
I thought it was the first. I'd went to different colleges, done different things, and then I just thought, I like this or something different of a respect level, and I just thought, I'm into this, I'm going to stick with this, and hopefully this will get us a break. But
so what other colleges did you go to?
I went in North Glasgow first, and then I went to North Glasgow again for the computing course. I didn't know what to do, just had to keep my maths sweet at the time because I was doing fuck all.
Yeah, because the parents are saying you do or something creative, they're like, right, when you get a real job.
She's like,
I was like, right, well, I'll get my business in admin, and that'll keep them quiet for a little while. Doesn't do me any good because I don't know how to work an Excel spreadsheet, but I can figure out 2 + 2.
You'll learn it.
We get there as we go.
So I was there, and then I've been to Stowe. I've been to the one that's across the water at Clydeside, the only one that's like a marine thing.
I know the one you mean, but I just can't remember.
I was in that for a wee bit, and then what else? What other places have we? I went to City of Glasgow College as well. I've done a podcasting thing actually in there.
Oh, nice, was it?
I done one show with their studio, and I would like to have done more, but I struggled to. I thought, how do I play this? You know, I don't know how to come across. So I didn't know whether, trying to be funny or no, what, and I was caught a bit too serious things and thought.
Well, spoiler alert, don't go for my style. Well, it's not working.
Don't worry, I'm not even. I was scared of AP podcasts when. All that boring shit with RSS feeds and all that crap, but nobody wants to know.
So, what got you into specifically the comedy side of it?
Since my mid-teens to late teens and that, I was always interested in comedy. I was in college, most of my short films, unless asked for something else, would be something to do with comedy. Like, I've done a short film, it was like one of my main ones, and it was. It's a bit of company when you die, the stuff your body, stuff them ink, it was called, and it was like this advert, but you get your family stuffed, and you can keep.
So basically, adult taxidermy.
I think it's a good idea. Still, I'd buy it. I think so. I'd like my granny in the corner of the room, like that.
I think I'd do that to my wife.
What you stuff for?
Probably because I couldn't.
Is that legal?
Well, we're about to find out. I'm pretty sure my wife's going to divorce me again. Okay, she's not divorced me yet. But there's still plenty of time.
Does she stuff you ever?
That's another question for another show. that can be in Craig's separate sideshow, his podcast, Stuffing with Craig.
Stuffing with Craig,
yeah, there we go.
Could you get on the OnlyFans or something like that?
Are they still doing OnlyFans for the nudes and stuff? Because I heard that they were taking it off, and then they said they were taking it back, putting it back on again.
Aye, I heard that. I was bitterly disappointed. I heard no. I had to cancel my subscription to 6 different feet on that OnlyFans.
Well, I've heard they're coming back, so in fairness, you might have an avenue.
No, but you're right. It's aye, look, and I said no about the explicit content, but I think, fuck knows what, I have no idea why.
Well, if they bring it back, I don't think they've got a market for middle-aged fat ginger guys. So I'll stick with this now.
You never know. Honestly, kinks out there, fucking eating boys.
No, trust me. The only woman that has ever hit on me since I've been with Alison was an 82-year-old woman with advanced dementia in a nursing home. I always used to hate it because she was like, "Where's that cute wee ginger?" And I'm on the reception and I'm hiding under the desk, like, God help me.
Advanced dementia as well.
Advanced dementia. Jeez.
Well, at
least
she remembers you. That's some gone.
There you go. Gingers are the cure for dementia. Aye. That's it. It's the orange, upright orange mop at the top.
I've got a ginger thing. I like gingers. Not you, but I like other gingers. I like ginger women.
Well, in fairness, one thing that I.
One,
Well, so just for the audience, like, it has a girlfriend.
Fiance.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Well, fiance is here with us. Like, I'm sorry. We should get some wee shout out.
Aye, definitely.
So, well, where are some of the boards that you have tread your comedy circle? Because I'm already telling right now, you're a funny motherfucker.
Oh, thank you. I've never been a stand up comedian. I've done live shows, so I've got a side trip, a mental health comedy trip. Didn't sound funny at all, does it? Mental health comedy.
This is like a mental health podcast, and we've been laughing our asses off for the last 10 minutes. So. Matt, tell us about it.
So it's called Alternative Sanity Bureau.
ASB.
The ASB, that's right. Yeah. And we've done a few shows in the Flying Duck. We've done it for charity. We've done quite a lot of mental health related sketches, which kind of, you know, with the BBC, it's quite tricky at times. You need to be dead careful about what you're saying, how you're saying. A lot of things are trigger warning. Everybody's triggered all the time now, so you need to be kind of careful. But we're talking for experience, you know, before people talking for like lived experience. We're not slagging anybody for having a disability or a mental health problem. We're laughing at the situations that we find ourselves in. Live-wise, I've been on stage, like, I used to be in a band that was different, you know, but the comedy, I'm not a stand-up comedian, I'm a comic writer, first and foremost. Sadly, I'm an actor now as well, because I need to be in my own sketches, and I don't like that much. But
unfair, you could just do what I do and get someone else to do it and then blame them.
The
writing was fine, but it was the acting that was shit.
It was the acting's fault.
But in fairness, like any writing that I've ever done, the actors have actually done better with the subject material, and I've been like, man, I'm redundant right now.
I'm worse than I thought.
Yeah, I'm not only ginger, I'm shit. So tell me about your band. Type of genre was it?
It was rock and roll, first and foremost. Rock and roll. It was sort of indie back in the 2006, sort of the last of the indie years, you know, Franz Ferdinand and all that, the Arctic Monkeys.
I was actually listening to Franz Ferdinand as I came in the day, so that's quite spooky.
Loved them, that's weird, that's strange. We were sort of indie rock, we were called The Blossom, and
Maybe so, definitely. The Blossom, and here's our song.
So we've done all right. We were kind of on the up and that, and then we're going to be Scotland's next big thing. You know, Jim Gately played us on the radio, next big thing, and all of that. Then it all fell fucking completely apart because lead singer syndrome. This is my band, and blah blah blah.
Spoiler alert, you weren't the lead singer.
No, it's my band, but no, I wasn't the lead singer.
So what did you play?
I played bass.
Bass?
Bass, and I danced. I like to dance on stage.
Are we talking dances in, like, you could actually, like, you know, do a play? Are we talking dad dancing?
No, somewhere in between. It was semi-choreographed, but it was like, I was bored of the, you know, you've seen bassists, and they're just on like this. I thought, fuck that, I don't want to be one of these guys, man. I want to entertain. It seemed to get a good reception, but as soon as we were very close to probably getting signed with some wee label, it all fell apart. Not with a bang, but with a whimper.
Please tell me something bad's happened to the lead singer, because if he's broke you up, I want him to suffer.
He never made it.
Good.
So fuck him, aye.
Yeah.
I hope he's listening.
Well, and if he's not,
I won't say his name, but his name's Johnny Madden, and he's fucking blank. Hi, Johnny.
Oh, brilliant. Well,
so a wee bit of gossip.
Man, you really need to actually go on the stage to do it. It's like, because your humour's so dry that it just gets that kind of way of, I'm actually a really nice guy, but I'm just going to destroy you with three words, and then I'm going to go back to being a really nice guy. So tell us about your work with the BBC. It was the social that you did, wasn't it?
Aye. So no long after the Vines, I got a wee bit of traction with the Vines. People were into it. You know, I got a fair, for what it was, I've got a good wee following. I don't know how, I can't remember how it all worked at the time, but I got a lot of loops. That's what they called it, loops. So I had a fair amount. And then I started working with a guy I worked with a lot. He sort of became like a co-writer, Paddy. Yeah, it plays a sort of big part in everything, I suppose. But, I was doing some camera work with him. Yeah. And then we improved a sketch one day. And just by pure chance, a producer in the BBC saw it. She says, "Who's this guy? I like him. Can we get him back?" That was it. We hit the ground running, and at the time we were fucking very productive. At the time we were just doing as much as we could, see what we could get away with. That, you know, a lot of stuff about that. But,
So what is it like with the? I know I only see the content of the social. What is a couple of guys that I know what do work on it. But what is it like kind of behind the scenes and letting, like, coming up with the ideas and all that stuff? Explain the creative process, as I say, very wankery.
Aye. So it's your usual.
Maybe it's your usual. I've not made it further than my dining room.
You plan it, you produce it, you get it done, Firstly, you write a script and you send it to the producer. Mm. And sometimes we didn't, and we try to get away with it just with the video. But you send it to the producer will say, "Go for it, green light, go and make it." And I will put it on, that's cool, everything's checked and so on. So that's it, you're done, you do it the way you do anything creative, I suppose. You're just doing what you know, in conjunction with the beep and working with them. And then if they take it, they distribute it, and that's the gist of it. You know, it doesn't affect as much creatively, but then you've got a lot, behind the scenes, you've got a lot of restrictions because it's the BBC, it's this massive fucking company, and they've got a lot of rules, crazy rules and things that, you know, we just didn't expect.
We're talking WWE crazy rules, like you can't leave like early on a Tuesday or something.
No. But we're never in the vicinity really. We go in for an occasional meeting with the producer or so, something like that. Mm. But we're very rarely ever. I think we filmed once in there. It was a sort of fluke. We only meant it. It's behind the scenes wise, and it's just tricky at times. Like, if you feel like I'm a wee bit edgy, they think I'm fucking very fucking edgy, and I'm not really. You know, it's just that comedy is changing constantly, and it's becoming a lot more sort of sensitive and woke, you know, and that's it's good sides and it's bad sides. If you're a comedian, or you're a comic in any sense, you don't want to be restricted. It's like the last, I think comedy's genuinely the last bastion of free speech, where you can really be yourself, you can really say things that, you know, and you can always sort of palm it away and be, "Well, I was joking, you know." Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. So you're restricted in what your output is because of all these rules, because, you know, it's not for it's not necessarily the producer's fault. They just have to stick. They get scolded if they put something out without getting clearance. Most of the stuff I make has to get clearance first, so it takes extra time. Then it'll get clearance. Most of the time it gets clearance. So one thing didn't it, and that was interesting in itself.
Well, you can't be that edgy if a lot of your stuff's getting passed. But what about you told me that there was one that you just done anyway. Well, how was the reaction to that when it went on?
What one's this?
There's one you said that you send the stuff to your what producers, they green light it, but there was one you just didn't bother and you just went ahead and done it anyway.
Well, there was, I mean, if the thing, if it might be the right one I'm talking about, I'm not sure, but there was one called Scottish Meal Therapy.
Right.
Now that was a sketch that was about how it wasn't really Scottish, it was more just how guys deal with each other. So I played a doctor. Dr. McLaren, my friend Paddy, he played the poor patient that comes in for depression reasons. Mm. So in conjunction with the ASB, it can be called that, you know, stars. So in conjunction with them, we'd done this mental health thing, and basically I play a horrible bastard to a doctor, you know, and there's lines in it that are definitely risque, but the whole point of it was is it we're saying, no, this is how guys, you know, this is how your dads spoke to us mm-hmm. about when you tell them, oh, I'm upset about this and that. Ah, you fuck off, you big Jesse, you know, that sort of thing.
That was the line in that house.
It was just the reality. So the trouble, what happened was the BBC said, okay, we like the sketch, we, you know, we're going to green light it. But then they started cutting things. So mm. we're like, well, wait a minute, it fucks the whole dynamic up.
Yeah.
Didn't quite make sense anymore. Why is it? So the main reason, partly, I think, so they pulled out eventually. This is not, so... You know, we said, well, we need to get paid, you know, you did green light. And
yeah.
So we got paid at least. So, yeah. But we just ended up doing it live, done a live version and recorded it and put it out there because I think it's up there with our best sort of work, you know. But it's real, you know, guy, you know what it's like growing up as a guy. We don't talk about things as much. Mental health's only recently becoming a sort of a more spoken about, more covered thing.
Yeah,
which is good, you know what I mean, it's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
So the BBC, there's one line in particular that Paddy, his character says to me, I'm depressed, and I say something like, you know, shut up, why do you mean depressed, get a life, you talk, you grow up, you be a man, and I said, no, but I'm just going through a lot of depression now, and I say, that's gay.
Yeah,
that's really gay.
I remember hearing that
in the context of that. Taking it out of context, I suppose it looks bad, but for what we were trying to convey, it was true. That was the conception. That's how my uncle, my dad, all that, that's how they would talk to us if you tried to express feelings. So the BBC cut this line out and we said, no, I know what you're thinking, but it's so important that it's in. It's because it's real. It's what we know. I promise you, it's what guys say to each other. You grew up in school when people would say, that's gay, you know.
Yeah.
You were gay no matter what. And it was so you just had to get out of that. So
At that time, it was kind of part of like your lexicon before we kind of realised and we're like, no, and then stopped saying it.
But aye, that's true.
I get
of
it.
Course, but, of course. So yeah. we tried our best. I say we were at ASB, we all wrote. You know, a big two guys, two women in the group, and we wrote quite a lot about, no, this is, it's important because it's real and it is how it goes, and they were only having it. They said, look, we can't, you know, because Reed says, we can't have that scene cut. So we just sort of said, well, we agree, disagree. Mm-hmm. They didn't, we went back when it didn't green light it. But we've done it live, three times. We practiced one and then two for the live show, shows for mental health charities.
Mm-hmm.
And it went doing well. The first two times in particular went doing well. The next time was part of the Glasgow International Comedy Festival.
Mm.
So now there was festival goers there who have paid and they don't know what they've got to see. And I'll never forget it, Andrew. It was so strange. I was doing I'd done that line that I just told you. That's gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard silence in the audience, just they didn't know what was next. Well, wait a minute, what if we came into here? This isn't funny, you know, that sort of... So I'm a bit of semi-aware of this, and Paddy's line, next line is that no homophobic?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, homophobia is for pussies. Mm-hmm. Now, the second I said that, the crowd just relaxed and they all laughed. It was like, oh, right, it's a character he's playing. It was like, I think they assumed it was real. I mean, I was going doing some right dark shit that they didn't want to hear, and the festival goer audience. And so after that, homophobia's for pussies line, it just relaxed them all to know that what we were trying to say with this sketch, basically Scottish men or men in general need to learn to deal with mental health better. Mm. You know, that was it. It was a moral sort of sketch.
Yeah.
And
the producer said, like, we're going to cut X, Y, and Z, that you had the balls to stick to your convictions, man. Because a lot of people, knuckle because they think I need to get the money. Mm-hmm. But then you stuck to your principles. You found an alternative way to do it. You helped charity in the process, a mental health charity. Mm-hmm. So that's the ultimate irony for them. And then you got it on the comedy festival.
Yeah.
I respect that, man. Well done.
Thank you. No, that's true. But you know, there is times where I've accepted with certain sketches. You know, and that's I'm not, most of my sketches aren't out to offend at all. You know, I'm just trying to be the daft guy. You know what I mean? You know, I'm just daft walking about. I'm the daft man, and I like that sort of joker, jester, clown guy, or whatever.
Mm.
But most, you know, some sketches I have to make certain concessions just to get it on. I know that that's not going to pass. I suppose I'm out in the open now, but sometimes I'll add some extra, more offensive things in the hope that they'll say, could you please take that out? And then no bother about the other one, you know. And that's happened, it's worked a couple of times. But sadly, sometimes, whatever it is, they just, it makes them feel a bit uncomfortable and they'll cut this out, you know. We've done one called the Stoner Championships. This was my pal Paddy's idea. And I had no idea what the hell it was about. I still don't quite understand it, but we've done it. And the email we got back through the BBC, now they went through it and all the way. But that we got this list of what you can and what you can't do, and it was, honestly, it was ridiculous. It was, you can't mention anything to do with cannabis, you can't say bong, you can't, like a lot of things like that. You can't smoke on camera, you can't be seen enjoying it in any way whatsoever. You need to make it look unenjoyable. So somehow or other, we used certain things. We've got Japanese people into the voiceovers. It was like filmed as a Japanese game show thing. I still don't fucking know it.
Kind of like a Takeshi's Castle for like people that were high.
Aye. It's in right. They're unawares, the characters in it are unawares that they're even in a competition. That's how Stone Dale. So they're just fucking. But we just didn't.
So essentially, that's basically like every Airdrie man's like getting home on a Saturday night kind of thing.
Aye, exactly like that. Yeah.
But one thing that I'm going to need to ask, because like, we've talked about some serious things here so to diffuse the tension. I love your fucking facial hair.
Oh, thank you.
Love it, man.
Thank you.
How did you get that looking so good? Because that's kind of classed as a neck beard, isn't it?
Poverty and depression. Depression.
Because I've always tried to grow that kind of neck beard, but it just looked like I hadn't hit puberty yet. And it was just that wee tiny bit that grew, but the rest of it was all fucked.
I've got a bit in here.
Yeah, but yeah, that's stylistic by choice. Mine's just looked crap.
Aye, well, I'd like yours. I'd like sideburns. I don't know why.
Wait, I've got sideburns. Fuck, man.
Your mare joint. I'm totally disjointed. You've got a connection. I don't.
Yeah, I think it's only one side though. It's like it goes one side like that, and the other side it's all patchy. It's really weird. We have our own grooming hang ups as well. We're scared of things like that. That you'll notice that there's a baldy bit in the side of my cheek.
Very much so.
So, what's 2022 holding for ASU and particularly yourself, Danny?
ASB,
ASU, where the fuck did I get that from?
College or something, right. Santa Uni.
ASU, what
does it hold?
That could be a potential venture, turning it into a university of mental health. That's me trying to dig myself out that fucking hole.
Nah, that's hunky-dory. What's in store, you say? More sketches eventually, you know. When I met my partner, I took a wee hiatus because I thought, oh, I know, I've been single for many, many years, embarrassing amount of years. So I decided, no, I'm going to enjoy, you know, love, I'm going to get into that. And I took a wee hiatus, and then the lockdown happened, and then it was like, oh, fuck. So next thing I know, there was...
So you were locked down before it was cool?
Aye, exactly, aye.
Yeah.
Just completely locked down. Nothing happened that year because getting a crew together was almost impossible, especially when it was like proper lockdown. Everybody in the BBC and so on, if you're filming anything, you must make sure, and it was ridiculous, you had to wipe down every lens with antibacterial stuff. You had to wipe down everything and make sure. And it was more trouble than it was worth. So I didn't do it. I didn't make it. Nobody in my circle made it. Really, I wanted to do. I quite fancied doing a nightly when the first lockdown started. When I was a shat myself, I thought this was proper end times. It's a big deal with me, death rate. I'm fucking obsessed with it. So I thought this was.
I think anybody doesn't say that they don't think about death is a fucking liar.
I agree. My poor fiance will tell you. I tell that all the time. I think people pretend that I'm not scared of dying. Shit scared. I don't want to die. No, I'm not. It's not like I'm poor me or anything like that. I don't want anybody to die. I'm kind of happy with life. I don't want anybody to die, but I don't want to die definitely don't want to die in a sordid way. You know what I mean? I don't want to die.
How sordid are we talking here? Because some, they are some of the funniest stories.
Anything outside, heart, I want a heart attack, ideally. Maybe dementia. A bit of dementia, because...
Oh, man. When you go, that's got to be the greatest. So a heart attack, ideally.
Aye, aye. But he settled for the dementia. I think, I can't remember, though. I think with dementia... it's
oh
good.
My God, I think it's I'm gonna fucking wet myself
after. I think it's a good thing to have dementia. No, for the family, because obviously they're all upset and all.
But you don't have a fucking clue.
You don't have a clue. You're loving it. You're like, hey, fucking, where we going today? And I'm peeing in there. I'll pee where I want and all that. So I kind of want that. The sort of old daft people thing, and that would be a good way out. I don't want to get impaled on anything. I don't want to be like
no in the 17th century. I think we're all right.
Aye, I know. You could have a big car crash though, and some fucking big metal tube just flies out the back of you.
Are you just putting up like new sketch ideas and seeing what I react to, and then going, right, he laughed at the dementia thing. Right, I'm going to take that.
No, it's just my mind. It's a sort of obsession.
I never thought I would meet someone with what more fucked up a brain than mine, but you're managing to surpass me, mate. This is fucking brilliant.
That's good, that right, kind of that, proud.
So when are you getting married? Have you set a date yet?
God.
No.
No set a date.
Good, don't.
We don't know. We might change minds.
That's all right. It's all right. I'm only saying because like my aunt and uncle, they have been engaged for almost 30 years. They've never got married. Like, they've got the house, they've got the dog, they've got my 16-year-old cousin.
30 years have been engaged?
Yeah, but never had any inclination to get married. It's one of those things that I think the longer you're engaged, the less likely you should get married, because I've seen so many things where they've been engaged for like 12 years, they get married, then they're divorced within 2 months.
One in three marriages these days don't fucking last.
So you've got a limited window of opportunity to get that locked down.
Aye.
Your fiance is a rather attractive woman, she may leave you.
I know.
And that's what I worried about with Alison as well, because Alison is smoking hot.
Especially if I die, though, you know, as well, she'll be off you.
I told Alison if I die, stick me in the wall for free insulation for 6 weeks.
Well, get used to it.
Yeah, gingers are naturally warm, I'm like, stick me up there, and you don't need to call anybody out. Just when they start complaining about the smell, fire away.
When the smell gets bad, you just need to.
Or if I've not died before I get my pension, just put me in my work, get the boys to come round with a bit of Febreze.
I like how you've already got. You've got a pension coming. I've not got a pension. I know I'm skint.
I'm planning on this because I kind of get life insurance because of my mental health.
You kidding?
No.
For real?
No, can't get life insurance because of my mental health. I applied and they said, in the bluntest of terms, that if I committed suicide, the family wouldn't get a payout, so it was pointless.
Did you say even though the world would be a much brighter place?
It was tempting, but it was sunlight.
I know. That's genuinely a surprise, isn't it?
It's nuts.
Wild.
They're all kind of linked, all those companies are linked together, I couldn't exactly go to another place and say, no, I've not got any mental health issues. Like, because I declared it in one, they all fucking know. So,
really, man? Really?
So, yeah.
So did you shop around and find out that that's the case?
That's the case, yeah.
So what, just in case you... I mean, everybody's possibly going to kill themselves. No?
Yeah. Well... Yeah, so that's what people don't tend to realise. Anybody could fling themselves off a bridge if it was the right circumstances.
So you won't get. So if I apply for life insurance, they'd say, oh, here, he's mentally fucked. You know, he's got mental health. No, he's not.
Unless it's
that.
Changed in the last 2 years, because this was just after the boys came. Well, and I got told this, and I wasn't in a good state of mind at that point as well. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me, really?
It doesn't help. Does
it? That's why I've got savings set up for the boys, to get them. Give them one on their 18th, but the caveat has to be keep some of it so you can bury me or fling me in a furnace somewhere.
What do you want?
I don't know. I'll be dead. Who fucking cares?
Aye, true.
Well, just put me in an algae bag and fuck me in the ocean. I don't care. As long as it's biodegradable.
Fuck you in the ocean. Actually.
Well, the fish might.
Penetration in the ocean.
Well, as long as
you're wild.
See, as long as the bag's biodegradable, so I don't kill the fish, we're all good. Well, I still care about the planet, even though indeed.
Aye, well, that's at least you've been.
Have you heard about
economic.
This whole thing, ash to glass? You can turn your ashes into something like glass.
No, I can't.
So I'm tempted that when my cat dies, I'm going to get that cremated and turn it into a glass photo frame and put a picture of Rita in the photo frame.
I think
that's lovely. I also think it's fucking weird.
The pros and cons and that.
Teach us their own.
I like it. I mean, it goes back to the stuff you ink type of thing. It's similar. Imagine you had a glass granny.
A glass granny?
My granny died like 2 nights ago, right? And I would love to get her in glass. But just in the living room, like, yeah. Or maybe feeding me out, you know. Like,
yeah, or just having like that kind of looking for their keys moment.
Aye, aye. Or a better grandson moment, but aye, something like that.
I think we've been cancelled about 16 times in the space of this episode, but I've loved every minute of it. So I'm going to round off by asking you the question that I ask every one of my guests, and I cannot wait for this answer now particularly. If you could give advice to someone that is struggling with mental health at this precise moment in time, what would that advice be and why?
I think I'd just say to them, you know, keep plodding on. I know it's shite in there. I know you feel like it's too much and it's all, you know, it's wrapped, your life's wrapped up and shit, and it's all you see is darkness. Just keep going, and peaks and troughs, you will eventually see some sort of improvement. You know, okay, I know in the odd case, some people don't, you know, in some cases, it gets worse. Then I sort of advocate talking yourself, you know, just get out of the way then. And so you could do that. But if not, I think genuinely I'd say just plod on, it will get better. You'll get better, your life will improve, and you'll realise that the way you feel at that particular moment, it won't stay. It never stays. You know how life is. You could be down for a bit, and then you'll be back. You'll be back up. You know, it's a journey of fucking.
So your advice is basically Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'll be back.
Every time I'm lost, I'm back.
There we go.
Like it or not. Sadly, something's.
Well, we'll round off with ASB's favourite segment, Ask Andrew Anything. For the unfortunate listeners, after me grilling the guest for how long has it been, Ross?
Probably about 28 and a half, three quarters minutes.
Well, can I give a shout out?
You can give a shout out.
Just to my group, because I've not heard from them in a wee while. Not even talking to me anymore.
depends on how they like this podcast. So
just want to say.
But pick a camera and look at it.
Right, what one? There we go, that one. So I just want to say to Rachel, and you're wonderful to work with. I love it. It's brilliant. Sophie, you're amazing too. Paddy. Only kidding, I love them. I love them all. Yeah. So I just want to say, thanks, man.
So this is the part where after what will be now like probably 29 and three quarter minutes, that you get to ask me a question. It can be something as mundane as why is Mario racist? Probably. He's an Italian plumber and he's white. What? And then to something really deranged, like who would win the fight between a caterpillar and a very, very, very tiny giraffe?
How dark can I go?
Go as dark as you want, I've got to answer it.
I feel like I want to go a wee bit dark.
Well, fire away then.
Don't want to get you cancelled.
I've been cancelled probably about now 18 times, so fire away.
Alright, okay.
I'm like a feckin' like weird kind of herpes. Once you've got me, you're stuck with me.
Right, well, okay. That's alright. So would you rather spend your life married to somebody who was a nymphomaniac but wasn't good in bed, right? Just rubbish in bed. Actually sore and stuff. Bad, right? Really bad.
Right. Is she diseased?
Only in the mind.
Okay, right, so what's the other option?
And the other option is, or would you rather marry, you're not gay, are you? You're not homosexual.
No.
Not against it. I'm just asking.
I mentioned my wife. Oh,
your wife?
Fucking listening?
I mean, you know, it could have been a Caitlyn Jenner thing. You never know. I don't know. It could be something.
And just to clarify, I've got nothing against that.
Nor I. So, would you rather spend your life as a deeply closeted homosexual with a man married? So out of that, two options, what would you rather stomach?
Probably shagging someone that's shite in bed, because at least I'm getting sex.
But painfully shite. Like actual pain.
I can cope with pain. Gingers have got a high tolerance for pain.
Is that true?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
we've got a slightly higher threshold for pain. Probably because of the amount of kickings we've taken over generations.
I suppose. It's like you've evolved to get used to it.
It's also the fact that gingers are the least likely to get skin cancer because we don't tan.
Oh, well,
we just burn, we peel, and we go back to white.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Well, every day's a fucking school day.
Every day's a school day. You find out stuff about gingers.
I've learned about four things for you today. I forgot Mason or not.
Yeah. And I have learned absolutely nothing.
Quite right. It'd be shite if you did that.
Danny, man, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, mate.
Thanks for having me.
I haven't had a good laugh like this since about 2 hours ago.
All right, good stuff. I'm glad
so, until next time, my three faithful followers, I have been Andrew Durnan. This has been Danny Carr of ASB. I'm highlighting the B to make sure that I get it right.
Beautiful.
So, until next time, take care. Stay safe. Bye-bye.